You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Detroit is rightly seen as the center of the U.S. auto industry, but looking into the years to come, there'll be an increasingly influential player in this country and in that business, China. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here with us now, and you've unpacked an awful lot about China and Chinese money in your columns in the news this week. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with Foxconn, which is technically Taiwanese, but it is the largest contract manufacturer in the world, and most of its operations are in China. As a lot of listeners may know, it is a contractor to Apple and produces your iPhone and your iPad and other things. But it also is being chased all around the United States, including by the state of Michigan, for investments here in the industrial Midwest.
Yes.
And as a lot of listeners know, Wisconsin got the first win.
First bite of the apple.
First bite of the apple. But the indications are that Michigan's got a very good chance to land a follow-on investment. One of the things I think is interesting to note here is that Apple, at the same time, is declared the autonomous vehicle as being top priority for the company, and artificial intelligence being really the mother of all projects. So you start to think through this, you wonder a little bit, okay, what's really going on here, or what could happen? I mean, if you have Foxconn investments in the industrial Midwest, that inoculates you a little bit against the current political environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got people that are working for these companies, and what's to say that they don't move from making liquid crystal display screens for your car or for flat screen TVs and to tool up for assembling electric autonomous vehicles.
So, and with that beachhead in the Midwest and, as you say, kind of offsetting the politics by providing jobs and paying taxes, they're here. And you also, in today's column, spent a lot of time comparing the approach of Chinese companies to establishing themselves here in the U.S. with the way it's been done by other foreign auto companies, like the Japanese and Germans, because they built plants on these shores. But what are you hearing about the Chinese approach?
Well, they want to buy. They don't want to build. And you know, if you can think back to when you were, some of your listeners were a lot younger, and you had the Volkswagen Beetle, which was an air-cooled, inexpensive vehicle sold in the United States, or you had the Honda Civic, which was a small four-cylinder compact that everybody made fun of, or the Toyota Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
But all three of those, particularly those two Japanese brands, used those cars and the success of those cars to build a brand and to build a company here in the United States. And today you have Toyota is every bit of a player in the American market as, in fact, it's larger than Fiat Chrysler in the American market. Fast forward to the Chinese. The Chinese look at this and they say, the fastest way for us to get credibility globally is to buy our way into the party.
And we've got the money.
Right. And in 2010, Geely bought Volvo from Ford Motor Company. And you can kind of see how they would tend to operate. They didn't put a lot of Chinese executives forward. Their CEO is, in fact, Swedish. They have really reinvested in the product. They've gotten very serious about electrification. Volvo is very serious about that. They're an industry leader in that. And a lot of this, the other thing that's important to note here is that Chinese government policy is driving a lot of this. So essentially, the industry that we know here in Detroit, a lot of the decisions that are being made about future product, future powertrains, and in future market investment is being driven essentially by Chinese consumers and the Chinese government.
Because I think a lot of folks here in America don't understand the force of the Chinese market. And as you write in your column today, GM sells more vehicles in China than it does in the U.S. You say that's not new news. I think it is to a lot of folks that kind of haven't been paying that close attention.
Exactly, which is why I'm writing about it. And I will continue to write about it in various ways. I saw a detail this morning that brought me up short. General Motors has 17 plants in China. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's more than it has in the United States, I think, off the top of my head. I'd have to count them up. But as I think around the U.S., I think that it is more. Now, obviously, it's a bigger country, and it's a more populated country. So, I mean, it's a little bit apples and oranges here. But these companies are going to where the customers are. And while there may be some saturation in the larger cities on the coast, the big names that we know, the Shanghais, the Beijings, things like that, they've got a lot of cities over a million inhabitants that none of us have ever heard of unless you spent a lot of time studying China. And that is what's really, I think, when you get into the whole thing about autonomy and electrification, particularly electrification, a major driver in the industry is Chinese government policy.
So all of this means what to U.S. carmakers and their suppliers, and even more to the point, the people maybe listening to us right now who get their paychecks from those companies?
Well, it means, number one, that a lot of the pace is being set by not necessarily here in the United States. Number two, I still think there's going to be, these companies are going to be building where they sell. Now, there are some exceptions to that. There was a big flap a couple of months ago when Ford finally changed, for the third time, changed its mind on what to do with its Focus compact car and announced finally that they were going to build it in China and bring it into the United States. That really is the first time that an existing model was shipped to China for production and then being brought back to the United States. So I think you're going to start to see some of that. As long as you have SUVs and pickup trucks continue to be popular in the marketplace, I think that's good for the American worker and good for the companies here, because most of those are going to be built here. They are built here and sold here. You've got a very active market in other parts of the world, and these companies, trust me when I tell you, when they're managing, they're not just managing for the United States, they're managing a lot for China. Many years ago, Rick Wagner, the former CEO of General Motors, told me privately in a conversation just at a social function, he said, if I had to place two bets on the future of this company, I'd place them on the United States and China. And fast forward to today, that's essentially what they're doing.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.